time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber, the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your host, Dom Nicastro.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom Nicastro here. How's it going, everybody? We're a weekly show on msonewsports.com, and we are here in late October. We're getting close to the postseason, very close. Actually, golf's already pretty much in it. Cross country's close, football's close, everything's close. Let's get it done. I'm not going to waste any more time because we got a special guest. We got a writer from the New England Football Journal coming on the show and giving us the breakdown of the Merrimack Valley and North Shore as a little bonus for you. So we'll actually use this interview in both shows because it covers a lot of ground. So find out the deep analysis coming to you on Merrimack Valley football from our author of the sports football scene in the Merrimack Valley here, North New England Football Journal, after the break.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All the appetizers to get your taste buds going, like sliders, quesadillas, wraps, and burgers. Specialties like tropical grilled salmon, fajitas, turkey tips, steaks, ribs, pasta, seafood, kids' meals. And did we mention 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games? There's going out, and then there's Sylvan Street Grill, the best place to go on the North Shore in Peabody and Salt. Salisbury.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, the Sports Desk is back at it, and our next guest is going to be Ukala Kabongo. He is a sports reporter for the New England Football Journal. Going to talk to us all about. He's going to cover all kinds of regions here, Merrimack Valley, North Shore, and we're all good. What's going on?
Man, I'm good, man. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on. I see you out there. You're like nonstop. I mean, pretty much is the gig like Thursday through Saturday covering high school football in the area?
Basically. Yeah. Basically, Thursday through Saturday, I'm all over the state. I'm all over the place. You know, some games that I'm assigned to, then there's other games that I pick myself. Yeah. To just go out and check out. So, you know, usually they give me the assignments for Friday or Saturdays, depending on the matchups. So, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun getting out there. I love it. I love, you know, covering game stories. You just get so involved and, you know, the twists and turns of the game. And then you get all your interviews and you're like, where am I going to go with this? What's my lead? Do I go straightforward lead? Do I do like a featurey lead? Like, you kind of figure things out. But are you at least located in a decently central area so you can get to all these games like reasonably?
I'm in Lynn, so it depends the locations. Like the Merrimack and all those, it's not too far of a drive.
Yeah.
It's sometimes when I got to go, you know, there've been times I had to go to, you know, a couple times to go to Catholic Memorial. I'm gonna be there again this weekend, so that's a pretty long drive.
Yeah.
That's probably the furthest I've driven. Well, yeah, that's probably the furthest. This Friday, I'm going to Needham. I'm going to be in Needham.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't. Yeah, the furthest I've driven is probably like an hour or so.
Yeah. Yeah, Lynn's not that great. I mean, unless you're talking about the Boston area and North Shore, yeah. Then Lynn's pretty good. But like you, because I lived in Swampscott for like 13 years. So
yeah.
I'm up in Manchester, New Hampshire now. But Swampscott was a real pain, right? Swampscott Marblehead, because that's like 5 miles off the highway exit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Lynn's a little bit closer there, maybe 3 to 4 miles from like your nearest, you know, highway. But yeah. But and did you go to like Lynn schools?
I went to Lynn English for high school. I went there.
Nice. What'd you play there?
I was involved with football, basketball, track. I was involved. You know, we were pretty active, so kind of.
Yeah.
While we was in high school, we might as well.
What year did you leave the friendly confines of English?
I was there from 2002 to 2006.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
2006 grad.
So that was like Northeastern Conference football back then.
Yeah, that was when it was at its it was really intense.
It was Gloucester's time. And Swampscott. And Swampscott started to emerge too.
Yeah, yeah. So Gloucester, there was still like my first couple years, my freshman, sophomore, junior year, they're still the kings of the division. Like we played them close. I remember my sophomore year, we had a chance to beat them. They came in Manning Bowl. We was up in that game, and then it came down to one play. They beat us by a touchdown. But junior year, we went up there another close game, but they just beat us, and then. Senior years when we got them.
Yeah. Was that the Malaya days?
Yes.
Malaya? Yeah. 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 So I was a sports editor for the Gloucester Times from 00 to 04, 05. So I right in your territory there.
Yeah.
And the big rival starting in 2000 was Gloucester Classical.
Gloucester. Yeah. I know a lot of, so some of like the older guys I know. That were on that 2000 Lynn Classical team. They're just, anytime we start talking about football, they're like, man, just that one. It was one just point. that one point that really ruined their chances of winning a state championship. Cause they were, I think they were like a favorite that year to win the state championship.
The team was, arguably that could be a good story for the New England Football Journal, the best teams to never win it. You know,
right.
You have a list of like 10 teams and that they'd easily be on it. The class. I mean, you'd have the, 99 or 98 Gloucester team. You know, they lost in the Super Bowl.
Even the Everett team, 98 or 99, the one that lost to Xavierian.
Yeah, right. Yeah. What those kids did after they left. And it's just like, man, there's so many good teams and only one can hold the trophy at the end. Right. So.
Right.
But that's cool. That's cool that you come from that background. So you get it. You know the area. How long have you been with the Football Journal?
Oh, we just started. We just partnered this season.
This fall. Okay. It's your first
game. Cool. Yeah, it's the first time. I always really run into those guys, well, at least one of them at games and stuff like that. So we had like a little relationship from, they've seen my work and I've seen theirs as well. So, running into each other and like and random some games and stuff like that.
Yeah. Did you have a gig journalism wise before this, or you have a concurrent like gig like still going? So, you have a couple of gigs.
I was a high school teacher for like a year and some change. I was teaching TV production from February of 2022 until like 2023.
Yeah,
I was there, and then before that, I was the news director at a local TV station over here, at our public access station here.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I was a news director there.
So you always ran into the journal guys, and then you got this gig, and you're doing great.
Yeah, yeah.
You're getting notoriety. I think I saw Coach Brian St. Pierre call you Mook, right? Does he?
Yeah, 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 yeah. He's Coach St. Pierre. He's It's my guy right there. It's my guy. He's showed me a lot of love the last since I started coming to the team.
Yeah. And
it helps, like, some of the guys I grew up with are on his staff too.
I love it. Well, let's start there, right? Like, let's start right at the top. Division One. Big picture is it's been a prep world. I mean, except for they were 3 out of 4, and then they try to win 4 out of 5, and Zavarian stopped that. So,
yeah,
what's the dynamic right now in your mind? Like, who are we going to see at Gillette? Who's the leading candidates?
And it's like Division One is very competitive this year, but right now we're looking like the way things are. We're probably looking at Springfield Central and St. John's Prep.
Okay.
But there's a lot of teams in Division One that have a say that will not be a tough out come playoff time. As you, Central Catholic is one of those teams. Like Central Catholic, what they did early on in the season as far as schedule wise, the team they played early. and they were in all those games too. All those games against those opponents, they were in. It was just the youth. Yeah, it was just the youth. Their youth and like some of the inexperiences was kind of the reasons they lost. But they got the big first win against Franklin. That was key for them. So them in Division One, they're going to be tough. Needham as well. Needham. They're undefeated right now. I mean, last year they made a run but lost to Zavarian. I think they have a lot of the players coming back. So they're going to be a tough out. But you know, back to St. John's Prep. I mean, this team is. We got the freshman quarterback who there was a lot of hype surrounding him coming into this season, he's the real deal. He's the real deal.
Yeah, he can sling it, huh?
And what I like about him, I just noticed this too. After this weekend's game, this past weekend's game against Northern Catholic, he rarely makes any types of mistakes, and he knows when to get that ball out of there. You know, he doesn't hold on to it for too long, and you rarely see him force a throw. You rarely see him make an errant throw. It's just precise decision-making from him.
Yeah, that's big. That's maturity right there. As a freshman, that's insane because, most of the high school quarterbacks, they'll just heave it up anywhere.
Right.
You know, and pray that someone comes down with it. They're not being conservative. Most of them are just like heaving it up.
Yeah, and what helps him too, he has a senior in Matt Marlow, the big 6'5" wide receiver. That's his favorite target right there. I think those two have combined for at least like 10 touchdowns this season. They've got a couple games when he's thrown multiple touchdowns to him. But that team is just built the way that team is built. It's built to make that late push, and as the weather gets colder, and you know the way their style of play, because they're not an air it out team. They're physical. We're gonna run the ball, and we're gonna kill you with our passes. But the nucleus of that team is that run game, and they have at least like 3 or 4. They have a rotation of 3 or 4 backs that are really good.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be an interesting dynamic should they get to Gillette, because you'd have a lot of veteran players on that team, mixed in with the most important player is so green. To that environment. Yeah. Now, that might be to his advantage, because I found that sometimes you get a freshman out there, like, I don't even know what's going on. This is nuts.
Yeah.
And they don't have they're too young to recognize how much of a pressure situation it is.
Yeah, definitely. But he also has, there's a lot of good things like surrounding him that's helping him. One, you know, we all know Coach St. Pierre. We all know, you know, we all know about him. But Deacon Robillard, you know, he was the starter last year. I think he was the starter on their Super Bowl, on their state championship team the year before. He's really been helping him go along and helping him understand the game. And he's just been like that solid veteran leader that you need on a team. He's really, Coach St. Pierre said it, he's really been helping him, bringing him along, and, you know, anything or any questions that Chris has, Deacon is there for him. And then Deacon as well, he's, you know, it's a tough from going to starter, from being a starter to, you know, now you need a backup. But he sees the field. He sees the field a lot.
Yeah.
And he does, in the time he sees the field, he makes plays happen. So they still got that other leadership from a guy who played that same position that they could lean on too.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, teams that you were mentioning Central earlier, and you saw Methuen, they're in the mix, you know, obviously in Division One. Central's yes. well in the mix in Division One, and yeah. then you have like a team like Andover. So that's who I'm looking at, you know, from a Merrimack Valley perspective. Central, yeah. Methuen, and Andover. You know Central very well, and you know Methuen pretty well because you saw them recently. So
yeah.
can those either of those two teams make a little bit of a dent? And even possibly score the big one, an upset over someone like a Central or a Prep.
I think both of those teams, Central Catholic and Methuen, they have the ingredients to pull off an upset if they were to meet up with one of those. What Methuen has is who I consider the best football player in the state right now, the best running back in the state, Shane Eason.
Wow. The Eason brothers continue their dominance.
Man, this young man is something special. He is just a flat-out playmaker. And he's just, there's so many words I can say to describe his game. But watching it, this was the first time I watched him in person this season, this past Friday at Bill Ricker. And what he did offensively and defensively, man, it just shows that he's getting himself up for that playoff push, and he's getting, and the team is just, the team just follows suit. That team is very, and he's not, and they got a lot of guys that got with talent on that team. So just him being that, being the leader on that team is big, but they got playmakers on the outside as well. And the coach Tom Ryan, the offense he runs and some of the plays he designs, it causes for an interesting matchup and how you just match up with them and, you know, all the way they spread out their players and stuff like that. So when you play a team like Methuen, you really have to have your nose up and you have to be very, very, very focused.
Yeah. And even though they played down a division this past weekend against Bill Ricker, that's still an impressive win because Bill Ricker is Bill Ricker. They can hold their own against some of those bigger schools, but they beat them 25-0. That's, you know, they left no doubt.
Yeah, and Bill Ricker, and I think they've had some issues with Bill Ricker through the years in beating them. So that was definitely big. It was the game of the week, and I was surprised by the score because Bill Ricker, I put it in the article that the last two games they had like 112 points. That's what they scored last two games prior to this one, and they held them completely to zero. They held Stephen Gentile. Their quarterback couldn't do nothing. Their running game wasn't working. Nothing. Like Bill Ricker couldn't do nothing against that Methuen defense. And that was my biggest takeaway. Forget the offense. It was Methuen's defense that completely shut down anything Bill Ricker does well.
Yeah. That's a big Merrimack Valley win. And, you know, of course the competition is only going to get, you know, tougher. I mean, they got Tewksbury, another similar situation where they're playing down a division, but Tewksbury's tough.
Yeah.
You know? And then they finish up with Lowell before the playoffs start. So that should be a win too. But
that's gonna be a good one. And it's on the road at Tewksbury too. So if you get back to back road wins, that's just gonna boost their resume. And I don't know how far they'll go up in the rankings. I think right now they're at 10. So just because a lot of the teams in front of them, they're still winning too. So it's kind of like that. Like the top 10 in Division One is they're all playing really good football.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, another area of football that you've covered, I know you've covered the Linz a bit, like Saugus. So there's nothing really to talk about there.
I forgot, did I talk about Central Catholic? I know it was.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's go back to Central. What are your thoughts on them? You saw them a few times, like three times.
Yeah, I saw them their first three games. Yeah, the first three games they played. The running game is really good. The running game is really good. The quarterback has gotten more confidence. Caden Smith, the other running back, Caden Chase. Those two guys, they kind of got a dynamic. They're a good dynamic duo. And it's kind of interesting how they just their plays and how their play calling, because they're kind of like they kind of almost do the wildcat, but not really.
Yeah,
and you know, it's they're a physical team too. They like to run the ball. They like to run the ball. You know, they use Caden Chase, they use Caden Smith, and they use Jefferson Morales as well. So they got like a plethora of plays for those backs. And then some guys on the outside, you know, the receivers, they really haven't caught my eye in those first couple games, but they did good on blocking, though, blocking on the outside. But I think those guys will definitely be a tough out, because the St. John's Prep game and the Springfield Central game, they had moments where they could have folded and let the lead expand, but they got themselves settled, and then they were able to, you know, give themselves an opportunity or a chance to try and win the game or try to tie the game in some of the overtime. They had moments where they gave themselves a chance, but it was the youth. Lawrence is a variant. Another close game, but, you know, it was just Zavarian just had that big running back Musa that's been wreaking havoc.
Yeah, Central loses by one touchdown to Prep and Zavarian, and Central they lost by 22, but still they were in the game there for a little bit. And I mean, talk about beefing up your schedule, man. I mean, like, you know, three non-league opponents there were just like the three top teams in the state, pretty much.
Right. And Coach Sexton said it. That's what he wanted. He wanted that. This is just going to help them. And, you know, hey, they started off the season beating Franklin. Franklin is a very good team.
They were number one seed a couple years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And right now, I think they're starting to play. They've been playing some good football the last couple of weeks as well. So that win over those guys, each week it looks better and better and better. And also, that game, they kind of matured a little bit because they were up. Franklin went to the wing tee. They started moving the ball. They tied the game up, and then they responded. Responded, and they were able to hold them off late to get that win. So they showed some maturity in that first game. But you could see the way Coach Sexton coaches those guys up. He really he was really planning for the long haul for this point in the season.
Yeah. Yeah, they could be a wild card in that Division One for sure. Could make some noise or at least be a pest. I don't think any one of those three teams wants to draw them.
No,
you know, in the early rounds there. So
yeah. I think do the top two seeds get byes?
I don't think so. I think it's just a straight 1 versus 16.
Okay.
And then 2 versus, you know, like the NCAA bracket.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Like the March Madness kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, 16 get in, and they just slug it out.
Yeah,
so that's exciting. So a lot of you know, Methuen and Central could make some noise there in the Division One annals. Andover's having a little trouble. They're right on the outskirts of even getting in. So Andover really has to have a nice push down the stretch to get in.
Yeah, that game against Methuen, it looked like it was a close game, and then I don't know what happened, but. You know, one thing I saw was like a 13-10 game or something like that. It was a one score game, and the next thing I checked, it was 37-10. It was like Methuen went on a crazy run.
Yeah. Well, how about we shift gears a bit to the North Shore-ish area? Who excites you in that? Who have you seen recently? And you know, I know the big story of the year in my mind is Bishop Fenwick. You know, with no chance to go to the postseason last year because of the transfer situation, they got suspended by the MIAA, but here they are, nothing holding them back, and they're looking good. They did lose a conference game this past week, though.
Yeah, they lost to a really, really good Bishop Feehan team.
Yeah.
So they can't hang their heads on that. But yeah, though, it's coming down in that Catholic Central League, so it's a three-team race.
Yeah.
Between St. Mary's, Bishop Fenwick, and Bishop Feehan. So Bishop Feehan could probably clinch the conference regular season this Friday. St. Mary's is visiting them. So that's a big one right there, St. Mary's and Bishop Feehan. St. Mary's, they look good. They have a three-headed backfield between Roland Merriman, Maxwell Parent, who I think might be the MVP. And then Dimitri Koustoflakis, who is one of the more physical backs. He's hard to bring down. And he also makes plays on defense. So St. Mary's right now, they're still undefeated. This is a big test for them coming up this Friday against Bishop Feehan. So that's gonna tell a lot about that league, and we'll see what happens at that one. But that's gonna be an exciting game, because anytime those two teams get together, it always comes down to a score or two.
Yeah. What is it? Five teams in Lynn. You got St. Mary's, Tech, Kip, and the English and Classical, right?
The Lynn teams, they've all been competitive this year. I think Lynn Classical, they've got injury issues. And they've lost a lot of they've lost some games where it's like kind of like they're young. And young as far as a lot of those guys, this is kind of like their first year really being like focal points on varsity. A lot of those guys are learning on the fly, but they're still competitive. Lynn English, it's been a turnaround for them for the last 2 years. Right now, it let down the other day against Medford. I know I watched the film, but I know when they watch the film, they're going to probably be kicking themselves in the foot just because they let that game get away. You're up 12-0 at halftime, and then end up losing the game 20-18.
Yeah.
It was tough, but Kip Academy, they scored a big win over Salem this past Friday. That's just a big win for that program. It's a small program, but they're still building up. And with a school like Kip, kids have to get accepted in there. So they kind of got to work with what they got as far as players.
Yeah,
but they're playing really well right now. They got a next week. They got a big one against Whittier Tech.
Whittier is strong.
Yeah, Whittier just defeated Lynn Tech over the weekend, 32-26. To take command of the league, and this game against Kip might be the deciding factor of the league. So Lynn Tech too. They have a good season. They started off. I mean, they lost their first game, a game they felt they gave away, and then they had a winning streak, a three game winning streak, I believe, a three game winning streak where they shut out two teams in back to back weeks. So those guys are doing well. So all the Lynn teams, they've been competitive this year.
I saw you interviewed their coach. Who's the coach of Lynn Tech again?
Coach Runner.
Yeah, I saw him on your Twitter on a video, and he's like, he must have been getting some feedback from people in the community, because he was like, and yes, we do play young players. Some schmuck was probably saying something like, why are you playing the young kids? Like, you got a ton of seniors, coach, which is like a total ignorant take, because who cares what grade they're in?
I love Lynn, but this is a city where a lot of people think they're coaches. A lot of people have something to say about something, and it's kind of like,
go ahead. Here's the keys. Want to try a game?
And the coaches hear it, and the players hear it, and sometimes you'll get a post game reaction like the one I got from Coach Ritter.
Yeah, it's good on you to get that. It's a nice reaction. I picked it up. I picked up on it. So, so let's boil it down in these last few minutes here. Mikhail, you've been great. New England Football Journal reporter here. Let's boil it down. We know what the prep is doing in Division One. We know the top Valley teams are Central and Methuen. Who are our North Shore area, like Northeastern Conference, Cape? Like, who are some of those teams that might have a chance to do some damage in the postseason? I'm thinking one of them might be Swampscott.
You know what? I was about to just say Swampscott, because I was just thinking right now. Swampscott. Swampscott would probably make some noise in the postseason. I got to watch them once, second game of the year against Lynn English, which was a really good football game. Their quarterback, he's pretty good. They got weapons. They got some guys. They got talent on that team. They felt like they let the game the week prior, week one, they felt like they let that game. They felt like they blew that one. They felt like they against St. Mary's the week before. But those guys got talent. They got a running game. They got some athletes on the outside. I think Coach Bush, really good coach. He has a good staff around him. You're right. Swampscott is one of those teams that will make some noise in postseason, because they usually do. They usually always have a solid team. But now these guys, all these guys are experienced now. So some of those guys from last, some of those players last year were, you know, were kind of inexperienced. But now they got more experience now.
Yeah, they get the Super Bowl pedigree from a few years ago, and you know the coaching staff. Anyway, I'm sure there's no one left from those teams, but they won a couple Super Bowls.
Yeah,
you know, Swamp Scott did. So yeah. They've been there. You know.
Yeah, and I think some of those guys are, you know, are alums of the school, and they understand, you know, what the program means and what the program is supposed to do.
This
will be fine.
They got Escavia, right? Xavier Bascon, right? Who's a graduate from a couple years ago. He's ripping it up for Harvard at the moment.
Yeah, his brother is a sophomore wide receiver.
Ah, okay. Nice.
Yeah, he's got a bright future. He's got a bright future. He had a good game against Lane English. He made some big catches.
Yeah, I'm looking at Bascon at Harvard right now. You got 99 yard game last week against Cornell. Not bad.
Yeah.
For rushing, so they're kind of weaving him in slowly. It looks like he's got he's getting the ball. 23 carries against Cornell. You know.
Hey, it's getting that trust from the coaching staff.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right. So I think we've boiled it down. We've got Prep Central Methuen to watch in the higher division. And then we got Swampscott, maybe Fenwick and St. Mary's pretty much is the
deal. Yeah, okay. Keep an eye on St. Mary's. I think St. Mary's, you know, the coaching staff told me this last year. They said they'll probably, because they had graduated so many guys from their state championship team. Yeah. So they told me last year they were injured. The injury bug caught them heavy last year, but the coaching staff said they'd make a run this year because all those guys are not experienced, and they were on that. They saw what it takes to win a state championship. So
yeah, it should be.
You know, we didn't even, I don't, Everett in Division One, you know, they've played. I don't know what's going on with them.
Well, they made the big move, right, to go independent, and they're not in the Greater Boston League anymore, which killed them because they were 7-1 last year and didn't make the playoffs. So let's see how that, I mean, you know, how that plays out in year one, if that was the right move for them, if it wasn't.
I think from the rankings, I think they'll still make the playoffs, but they haven't, you know, they've played Xavierian, they've played BC High, they played Brockton. They played Taunton, and the only team they beat out of that was Taunton.
Taunton's we're looking at. We interviewed Monday night, so we missed the latest rankings. But at the Friday rankings before last week, and Taunton was 18, and BC High was number one, of course. Prep number two, Xavierian three. So, I think it might benefit them. I mean, Everett's 2-3 at the time of these rankings.
Yeah.
And they were 12th. So normally they'd be like 5-0 in the Greater Boston League and ranked 19th.
Right.
But it didn't do anything for them. So they had to get the hell out of there. They get in.
Yeah. And then if they do get in, I believe they'll get in, but we'll see who they match up with and how they'll do it. It all depends on matchup right now because they haven't. It's been like, you know, the two blowout losses to Xavierian and BC High is kind of, you don't normally see that from a program like that. Maybe they'll get the train rolling again at some point, but right now I don't see them making no noise in Division One playoffs.
Yeah, they're a ways off from doing what they did in, you know, most of the 2000s here. Yeah. Mukala Kabongo, you can follow him at Mukala, MUKALA _K. If you want to follow Merrimack Valley North Shore football, no slight towards my shows, Mukala, but he's a little more real time than I am. So follow him and then listen to me after.
Yeah, pretty much. It goes hand in hand. I tweet it. You get it. You let the people know.
Yeah, I give context perspective after the fact. But
can you believe we only got like a couple more weeks left in the regular season?
No, I know. It just breezes by. And you look at the other school, like other sports, like golf, it's like tournaments already here. Right. That goes quick. And, you know, hey, after football, is there a future for you covering any other things? Like, what do you do? What comes next? Or is this kind of like a high school basketball gig? Yeah, but you do basketball? Okay.
This basketball, you know, college basketball starts in a couple of weeks. So I'll be up at Boston College. I'll be covering the Eagles again.
What's that for? What publication?
I do that for myself.
Okay. You tweet it out and just kind of have fun with it.
Yeah. I tweet out. I make, I'll make some videos about it. Cause I'm in there recording for my own highlights to make and stuff like that.
That's how you build your brand.
Yeah. So I'll be Boston College basketball. I'll be covering a lot of their games, high school basketball as well. I'll be all over the place. High school basketball. So
nice. Well, follow him. You get all the scoops. And football's not done, though, so we're looking forward to that. I'm sure you'll be at Gillette covering the whole day.
I just hope it's not cold at Gillette.
They give you a nice meal anyway, right? The media, do they give you a meal these days still?
They do.
Soda machine, at least?
They have a spread. They have a spread up at the in the press box. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm usually on the field.
The TD Garden got worse and worse over the years. So I used to cover the hockey state championship day, right? Remember that day? It's like on a Sunday around St. Patrick's Day. And I used to do it for hockey night in Boston. And the meals got progressively worse. First of all, there was a meal. There was a meal year one. And then from year two to like year eight that I did it, no meal. So just coffee and the soda machine.
At BC at Boston College they used to be
they hook you up, yeah.
But then COVID hit and they don't do that no more. For basketball, they probably still do it for football, but I don't think they for basketball that would be.
Yeah, keep me in mind because if you're covering, you know, BC basketball and you got some local Merrimack Valley North Shore kids on the team, we'll catch up about them.
Yeah, I know they got a couple kids from Massachusetts on there. Now they got a kid from Milton Academy on there, okay. And then they got another kid from Newman School. He graduated from the Newman School. He's a freshman. So there's some Mass kids on there.
Nice. Well, all right. Well, best of luck in football. Maybe we'll catch up one more time before it's all said and done on the gridiron.
Hey man, appreciate you for having me on, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, Mukala. We'll catch up soon enough. Thanks for joining us on the sports desk.
All right, man. You have a good evening.
All right, you too. Later.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street, in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for the best place on the North Shore to gather with friends after work, on the weekend, or catch a game? Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. Enjoy daily specials, mouth-watering appetizers, and delicious entrees. There is something for everyone at the Sylvan Street Grill. Come check out the newly expanded bar in Peabody with 42 beers on tap and 20 TVs for all the games.
Sylvan Street Grill.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
All right, Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, we are back at it. John McCastro here closing out the show and just wanted to put the final spin on things. The power rankings are out. We were talking to Mukala before the break.
and he talked about Central Catholic being a team to watch, and they're 3-3, ranked eighth in the latest Division I power ranking. So, you know, after being so competitive in the regular season against the top three team, three of the top three teams in the state, I mean, you got to factor in Central. Methuen's right above them at 5-1 at number seven, and they're a factor too. Easton can break out, have a game, and they can do some damage. So Andover climbing up there, having a great season, 5-1, and the number 12 seed. On the outskirts is Haverhill at 1-5 in the 23 seed. Lowell also 1-5, the 27 seed. Lawrence hasn't won yet in six tries. They're 31. So there's 33 teams in the bracket. Let's take a quick peek for Division II football as well. Chelmsford, number 9 at 2-4. They're looking to get back on the winning track there. And North Andover is 15. So if it started today, North Andover 3-3 and Chelmsford at 2-4 would both be in the dance. So pretty good stuff there. 22 teams in that division. So a really light division. Division 3, we'll see where Billerica is. Yeah, they're 3-3, so struggling a little bit as of late, but still in that number 5 spot, looking real good. Looking real good. And then finally, we'll look at Division 4, where we find Tewksbury in there at number 6, 5-1, having a usual good season. And that's about it. So, well, thanks for joining us. That was great to have McCollum on. He's going to be a frequent guest after I add him on. He is the real deal. I love it. He's very passionate about covering sports, and you can see it through his tweets, through the way he talks, and he knows his stuff in this area. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. Have a great week. We will see you for our, would that be our final, our final October show will be Halloween. Spooky. We'll see you next week, everybody.